Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations tonight. It is a pleasure to welcome back to our studios Dr. John E. Dreslin, the music director of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. Welcome back, John.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back once again.
Nice to have you with us. I'm going to read a little introduction to John that I think is very nice because it tells you a lot about his experience. He's the music director for the Gilbert and Sullivan Society. This is his 29th season with that group, 26 of them as music director. He has participated in over 100 productions across Connecticut as music director, conductor, accompanist, or actor in various genres of musical theater, from opera to Broadway musicals. He's received 9 Eugene O'Neill Awards for Excellence in Community Theater and a Lifetime Achievement Award from Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. He is also a recognized scholar and lecturer on Gilbert and Sullivan. He has been the organist at the Union Baptist Church in Mystic, Connecticut for the last 25 years. He is a retired dentist and lives in Stonington, Connecticut. John, that's quite an accomplishment. We're not even talking about your professional career, just your musical career.
Yes, well, I'm glad I can now be retired and spend more time on my musical career, which is a great joy to me.
It's wonderful to be able to do that kind of thing. You and I were talking before we went on the air and talking about how I love my job, being involved here at the radio station, being able to perform around the area, and you love your new job, being a music director and so forth.
Yes, I find my life is much better for it.
Let's talk a little bit about Gilbert and Sullivan. I know that you know more about Gilbert and Sullivan than most people know about themselves, so let's start with a little history on them. What do you have to tell us about Gilbert and Sullivan?
Well, Gilbert and Sullivan were two Englishmen, lived in the Victorian age, and I like to say that they basically invented popular musical theater as we know it. They collaborated on 14 operettas, but they referred to them as operas, between the years 1871 and 1896, and probably the most well-known ones are the HMS Pinafore, the Mikado, and the one that we have chosen for this year's production, the Pirates of Penzance. Now, Gilbert was the one who wrote the books and lyrics, and he was trained as a lawyer, but he also found that theater was better for him, so he quit the law and followed a career first as a writer of humorous articles for periodical magazines, and then became a playwright and director, and he pretty much invented the art of stage direction as it's practiced in modern times. Now, Arthur Sullivan, he was the composer. At the time, he was actually the preeminent composer of serious music in England, with one symphony, a cello concerto, a grand opera called Ivanhoe, and a whole host of orchestral and choral music to his credit, including several hymns that are still commonly sung in churches, probably the most well-known being the Onward Christian Soldiers. That's an Arthur Sullivan hymn, would you believe? And so in their lifetime, they were both successful and well-known in their individual fields, but pretty much it's their joint work that has lived on after them. It's often said that the sun never sets on Gilbert and Sullivan. Their works continue to be performed by both amateur and professional groups around the globe, mostly but not exclusively in English-speaking countries. I actually have a recording at home of a German version of Pirates of Penzance, which is kind of interesting. And fortunately, my wife was born in Germany, so she can translate it for me.
Well, there you go. It's good to have a built-in translator.
But it's very entertaining.
Let me ask you a question about, you mentioned at the beginning of your statement there about Gilbert and Sullivan. operas versus operettas. What do you think, if you had to tell someone the difference, what would it be?
Well, usually we consider operas as sung through pieces, music all the way through, whereas operetta, usually there's a dialogue interspersed, a spoken dialogue. That's what I see as the difference.
Right.
Operetta is much more closely related to like musical theater that we see in the U.S., although the trend has become having some musicals like Les Miserables be completely music all the way through
as well. And what's
the
difference between that and opera,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah. I think Sweeney Todd is all music all the way
through.
There's
several. I think Rent is that way too, where it's the same kind of thing. All right, well, let's get to a piece of music. What do we have first?
Well, I wanted to give some examples of our actual group performing. So first of all, I've brought a recording of a selection from our 2012 production of HMS Pinafore. And it's a pretty familiar piece. It's called Never Mind the Why and Wherefore. It's a trio. And on this recording, we have Nathan Rodriguez as Captain Corcoran, Don Shura as Sir Joseph Porter, the First Lord of the Admiralty, and Catherine Bowden as the Fair Josephine.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love can level ranks, and therefore, though his lordship stations mighty, though stupendous be his brain, though her tastes are mean and flighty, and her fortunes poor and plain. Ring the merry bells on lordship, lend ye with warbling wild, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter,
what a gallant captain's daughter,
and a lord who knows the water,
and a tar who plows the quarter.
Let the air with joy be laden, and the songs the air above, for the union of a maiden with a man who loves her love.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love can tell the ranks, and therefore, though your naughty congregation in my set could scarcely pass, though you occupy your station in the lower middle class.
Ring the merry bells on board ship, blend the air with warbling wild, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter,
what a gallant captain's daughter,
and the lord rules the water,
and the tar who plows the
let the air with joy be laden, bring the songs the air upon, for the union of a maiden with a man who loves her love.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love can never rings, and therefore I admit to jurisdiction, if ye have you played your part, you have carried from conviction to my hesitating heart.
Ring the merry bells on board ship, let the air with warbling wild, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter,
for a gallant captain's daughter,
and the lord who rules the water,
and the tar who plows the water.
What?
Let the air with joy
ring the merry bells on board ship,
for the union of his lordship,
for the union with his lordship,
bring the songs the air above, for a man who wants her love.
John, obviously a live recording of your group, and great to hear that. Let's find out a little bit more about the group and the Gilbert and Sullivan Society of Connecticut.
Yeah, sure. We were founded in 1980, so now in our 36th season. And, of course, we're devoted to preserve and promote the works of Gilbert and Sullivan. And we present one major production a year. Our actors are all volunteers from the community. some of them travel pretty long distances to participate. As a matter of fact, this year, one of our cast members is traveling all the way from Malden, Massachusetts.
Wow, that's like another country.
It is. And many of our performers are graduates of distinguished music schools and conservatories and extremely accomplished. And our auditions are held in the spring. Rehearsals span the entire summer, usually one evening per week for the full cast, and a second evening for those who have been chosen to play principal parts. And we're always eager to get some new talent and encourage complete family participation. The annual show is presented in the early autumn, usually in October, and this schedule allows us to include many students who are able to participate at a time when they are not overwhelmed with their school activities, and also helps us to avoid the snow season. But we just have to keep an eye out for hurricanes.
There you go. Well, you also avoid you take advantage of people that might be snowbirds, too.
That's right. Yeah. Because they haven't moved south yet, usually by October, and they're usually back by the time we do auditions. So,
It's
a great group for snowbirds.
What's the next piece of music you have for us?
Once again, a selection from HMS Pinafore, our 2012 production. This one is an aria for soprano called The Hours Creep On Apace, and the soprano here is Catherine Bolden, who since has moved on to a very distinguished career.
Crawl in rank and
John, these performances you've been doing over the years, you have orchestras and scenery and all kinds of things, right?
Yes, it's a very major undertaking. Our major performance, which is once a year, we have full costumes and scenery, and we're accompanied by a professional 23-piece orchestra. We're one of the few Gilbert and Sullivan groups, and there are many Gilbert and Sullivan groups scattered around New England, but we're one of the few that are still using the original Sullivan scoring rather than a reduced orchestra. As I said, many of the groups have switched to using reduced scorings to save on money, but we feel it's worth the extra expense to get the genuine sound that Sullivan envisioned. I particularly like his woodwind scoring. And we have a brand new costume designer this year, a fellow by the name of Matt Detmer, who has been designing costumes for over 20 years and received an MFA in costume design from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. I was talking to Matt just the other night, and he mentioned to me that there's over 400 pieces of costume involved in this show. So it's a major undertaking.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And the orchestra, there's 23
pieces?
23 pieces, yep. 23 pieces, all right.
Yeah, full strings and about 6 woodwinds and 6 brass and 1 percussionist. And this year, we're once again using super titles to accompany our performance because, many of the lyrics in Gilbert and Sullivan, as we're going to hear in some later selections are very rapid,
right?
And this we found last year we had a overwhelmingly positive response because people were able to follow all the lyrics and understand them all, especially those who have some hearing impairment were very appreciative. We'll be performing at the Performing Arts Center of the Valley Regional High School Auditorium in Deep River, Connecticut. Which is pretty easy to reach for our audience. You go by Interstate 95 and Connecticut Routes 9 and 80. The auditorium is completely climate controlled and handicapped accessible. And another exciting thing we have this year is that we have partnered with several local restaurants who will give a 10% discount off the entire bill to ticket holders on the dates of the performance.
Wow.
There's also a price reduction if you get your tickets in advance. So let me give you information on our contact. All these programs and details can be found on our website, which is ConnecticutGNS.org. Spelling it out is CTGANDS.org. And there's also pictures from our past performances on there. Lots of interesting stuff. You can order tickets right through the website. Or if you prefer, we have a phone number for tickets, which is 860-554-1256.
And it's just about a month away. There's going to be 2 performances on October 15th, right?
Yeah, 2 on the 15th.
Right.
Yep, a matinee in an evening. The matinee is going to be at 2 o'clock. The evening is going to be at 7:30.
That's Saturday. And then Sunday the 16th.
Yeah, Sunday will be another matinee at 2 o'clock.
All right. So all of that information is available. One more time, ctgands.org. Sounds simple enough. And so this year, Pirates of Penzance, or Penzance, or Pennies. How do
I say Penzance. I've heard it said Penzance.
Penzance, yeah.
I've always said Penzance.
Okay.
And that was Gilbert and Sullivan's 5th collaboration. Interestingly, there's something interesting about Pirates. Well, there's several interesting things. First thing I want to mention is that we consider it their 5th collaboration, although all the music from their first one, a piece called Thespis, has been lost, except for 2 pieces. And one of the reasons that one of the pieces survived, it's the chorus Climbing Over Rocky Mountain, and it was reused in Pirates of Penzance, and it's the entrance chorus of the ladies, and I must confess I'm awfully glad it was saved because it happens to be a real favorite of mine. I think it's one of my favorite women's choruses of the whole literature.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break, and we'll be back with more of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. ¶¶ Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Dr. John Dreslin, who is the director of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society, and they're going to be doing three performances coming up about a month from now, October 15th at 2 o'clock and a 7:30, and then Sunday the 16th at 2 o'clock matinee of the Pirates of Penzance, and we'll figure out which way we want to go with that. But a little more history about what's going on with that show, John.
Yeah, Pirates has a real interesting history because it followed right on the heels of HMS Pinafore, which had become a runaway success, and dozens of unauthorized versions were being done in the United States since it was not under copyright protection here. So Gilbert and Sullivan decided they were going to bring their full company over to New York for the premiere of their new work, and that occurred on New Year's Eve, 1879, simultaneously with another branch of their company opening in England, and that way they were able to secure their copyright interests in both countries. Getting on to the story, it tells us the story of a young lad by the name of Frederick who was accidentally apprenticed to a band of some tender-hearted, sherry-sipping pirates through the error of his bumbling and hard-of-hearing nursemaid Ruth. He's reached the age of 21 and is now free of his indentures and wishes to go straight. However, the king of the pirates tries to convince him that compared with respectability, piracy is comparatively honest.
Black flag I fly, and play a sanctimonious part with a pirate head and a pirate heart. Away to the cheating world go you, where pirates all are well-to-do, but I'll be true to the song I sing, and live and die a pirate king. I'm a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king, for I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
It is hurrah for the pirate king,
hurrah for the pirate king. I sally forth to seek my prey, I help myself in a royal way. I sink a few more ships, it's true, than a well-bred monarch ought to do. But many a king on a first-class throne, if he wants to call his crown his own, must manage somehow to get through more dirty work than ever I do. For I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king, for I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
It is for love the pirate king,
for love the pirate king.
John, as I understand it, you're the music director of the society, correct?
But
you have a director of each show?
We have a stage director as well, and for the past 30 years, we basically had the same one, and this year we're actually welcoming a brand new one, a fellow by the name of Michael Loomis, who has just relocated to Connecticut. He was previously a member of a very popular political satire group called the Capitol Steps.
Oh, sure. I know the Capitol Steps out of Washington, D.C., yeah?
Yeah, uh-huh. He was one of the very wow. early members of that group. Yeah, wow. I listened to them occasionally, too.
They would be having a good time this year.
I'm sure they are having a good time. But he's also, interesting enough, a lifelong devotee of Gilbert and Sullivan and has an encyclopedic knowledge of pirates. The Society has done pirates four times before, but Mike's come with a fresh, new, entirely different outlook on it. And he's actually resurrected some of the material that was cut since the original 1879 premiere, plus added some new comical bits, and it promises to be one of our most lively versions ever. Returning to the story, Frederick, who has never seen another woman save for his middle-aged nursemaid for the past 8 years since he's been out at sea, is stunned to come upon this bevy of beautiful maidens who sang the chorus we heard previously. And they're frolicking on the beach, but they want nothing to do with pirates, except for one, Mabel. And she arrives on the scene and sings her big, big coloratura aria, Poor Wandering One.
It sounds like a fun time, frolicking women on the beach. I mean, how can you go wrong?
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. They even at one point throw their shoes at Frederick.
Sounds like things might get a little complicated, though.
Well, there is a further complication that arises. Mabel and Frederick have paired off, and is discovered that all these girls, they're all sisters, and their father happens to be a major general in the British Army who is not particularly fond of pirates.
I think I know what's coming.
Yes, as a matter of fact, earlier on when we were chatting, you gave me your own rendition of the number that's coming up, which was actually pretty good. Maybe you should audition for us.
No, that's
I'm sure
right,
you're
man.
Too busy, but
anyway,
the major general does arrive on the scene, and he introduces himself with what is probably the most famous patter song in the whole Gilbert and Sullivan repertoire, "I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General."
All right, I won't sing it, but we'll listen to it, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more.
General. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fight historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I am teeming with a lot of news. With many cheerful facts about the square and the hypotenuse.
With many cheerful facts about the square and the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square and the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square and the hypotenuse.
I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a modern major general.
I know our mythic history, King Arthur's and Sir Caradoc's. I answer hard acrostics like the pithy taste for paradox. I quote in elegiacs all the clans of Heliogabalus. In conics, I can floor peculiarities parabolous. I can tell undoubted Raphael's and Geraldine's and Zophanes. I know the cooking chorus and the frogs of Aristophanes. Then I can hum a fugue of which I've heard the music's din afore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore.
And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. Whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. Whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore.
Then I can write a washing bill in Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail of Caractacus's uniform. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
In fact, when I know what is meant by mamelon and ravelin, when I can tell at sight a Mauser rifle from a javelin, when such affairs are sorties and surprises I'm more wary at, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat. When I have learnt what progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more of tactics than a novice in a nunnery, in short, I have a smattering of elemental strategy. Strategy, 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 strategy. You'll say a better major general had never sat at
you. You'll say a better major general has never sat at you. You'll say a better major general has never sat at you. You'll say a better major general has never sat at you.
For my military knowledge, though I'm plucky and adventury, has only been brought down to the beginning of the century. But still in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
You'll say a better vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a modern major general.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're talking about the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society, the performances they're going to be doing of The Pirates, which is going to take place on October 15th and 16th, a 2 o'clock matinee on the 15th and a 7:30 show, and then again on Sunday the 16th, a 2 o'clock matinee. And if you'd like more information, you can go to their website, ctgands.org, or you can call the old-fashioned way, 860-554-1256. And operators are standing by, right, John? There they are. If you call before midnight tonight, you'll get an 8x10 glossy of John in his costume.
As a matter of fact, they are costuming me this year.
See that? See?
Yeah, I'm going to be a pirate in the pit, sort of.
Well, a pirate in the pit. Okay, well, there you go. You know, there's all kinds of reasons for doing shows, but this is one of the more unique ones I've heard, you know, because it's a leap year?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that figures strongly into the plot. One of the reasons we picked Pirates this year is because the plot hinges around the problems of a person who was born on February 29th, leap year day. And it seems that Frederick was one of these unfortunates, and he was to have led a troop of policemen in an attempt to capture his former associates, so he's left, but his ex-nursemaid Ruth and the Pirate King appear on the scene to point out to him that his contract stipulated that he would be a pirate apprentice until he reached his 21st birthday, and that going by birthdays, he's just a little over 5 years old.
Right.
When you had left our pirate fold, we tried to raise our spirits mate, according to our custom old, with quip and quibble quaint. But all in vain the quips we heard, we lay and sobbed upon the rocks, until to somebody occurred a startling paradox.
A paradox!
A paradox, a most ingenious paradox. We've quips and quibbles heard in flocks, but none to beat this paradox.
A paradox, a paradox, a most ingenious paradox.
For curious quips, for cranks and contradictions queer, and with the laughter on our lips, we wished you there to hear. We said if we could tell it him, how Frederick would the joke enjoy, and so we frisked both life and limb to tell it to our boy.
That paradox,
that paradox, that most ingenious paradox. We've quips and quibbles heard in flocks, but none to beat this paradox.
A paradox, a paradox, a most ingenious paradox. A paradox.
For some ridiculous reason, to which, however, I've no desire to be disloyal, some person in authority, I don't know who, very likely the Astronomer Royal, has decided that although for such a beastly month as February, 28 days as a rule are plenty, 1 year in every four his days shall be reckoned as 29. Through some singular coincidence, I shouldn't be surprised if it were owing to the agency of an ill-natured fairy. You are the victim of this clumsy arrangement, having been born in leap year on the 29th of February. And so, by a simple arithmetical process, you'll easily discover that though you've lived 21 years, yet if we go by birthdays, you're only 5 and a little bit over.
Dear me, let's see. Yes, yes, with those my figures do agree. How quaint the ways of paradox, at common sense she gaily mocks, though counting in the usual way is 21 I've been alive. Yet reckoning by my natal day, yet reckoning by my natal day, I am a little boy of five.
He is a little boy of five.
A paradox, a most ingenious paradox.
John, I want to thank you for coming in. What a great show and a lot of interesting history involvement here. And you certainly know your stuff. So I can't wait to meet the director if you think he might know more than you about the Pirates. That's pretty amazing. But the show is going to take place, as we said, October 15th and 16th. Check out the website. And the location, John, is where?
It's at the Performing Arts Center of the Deep River. Actually, Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut.
Deep River, Connecticut.
Deep River, Connecticut.
Sounds like that should be the name of a show.
But, it's the name of a spiritual, right? Deep River.
That's right. All right, let's get back to finishing up our last piece that we have for our audience today. And in the conclusion, or our conclusion anyway, of the Pirates, and anything else you'd like to say about that?
No, except that it's going to be a fun show. Everything will work out in the end. it's not a tragedy.
Well, that's good, a comedy.
There'll be a lot of good laughs.
I hate going to shows that end with the ship sinking.
So I'd like to finish up with just one more selection, which once again at one point was one of the most familiar melodies in the world. It occurs when the pirates appear on the scene to capture the Major General, and they are supposedly sneaking into hiding, but actually they're making quite a bit of noise, and it's called With Cat-Like Tread.
We will listen to that, and thanks once again, John, for being here. Appreciate you coming in. And
well, thank you very much for having me, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
It's great. And to the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.